Welcome to the World's Spire. The party has been separated. Through the shifting and beguiling magic of the deep woods, Zelus and Tinsy found themselves in a marsh whose waters ran dark with the rot. Feral and Tsutsutsu were left behind in the forest, and the two halves of the party struck out to find one another. However, both teams ran into trouble. Zelus, having trudged a great distance through the rot-infested waters, began to fall ill. And meanwhile, Feral managed to find the marsh, only to encounter the beast, and was quickly surrounded by the foothold of Immorta's soldiers. Chapter 10, Sanctum Impadit, Part 1.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is where I die. This is definitely where I die.
No, you're not gonna die. But you have the character's spirit, right?
No, maybe the handsome, not so burly, but good-looking...
The twonk?
Drow.
With the good ankles?
Oh, yeah, the good ankle? Yeah. Maybe I'll come and save you.
Maybe. I don't even know his name.
Not yet.
What if I die without knowing his name?
Oh, God. Hey, man, you gotta believe in love. Yeah. That's all.
Good advice. Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
It's happening again. Feral struggles to remember the past several hours.
Oh, God damn it.
You try and focus on the last things you can remember. The mist rolled back into the deep woods. You talked to a hot elf guy at camp.
Hell yeah.
Your friends turned into mush, but Tsutsutsu said they might be okay. So you tracked the rot to try and find them, and you entered the swamp. But then what? Can you give me a wisdom roll?
Oh.
Okay.
Use that big brain of yours, Feral.
You got this.
I got good wisdom, I think.
I think it's like plus four?
Yeah, it's a plus four. It's a nat 20!
Nice. Alright, right, you saw the beast. You can actually remember seeing the beast.
Oh no!
It was disgusting and skeletal and half-formed. It reeked of death.
Yay, I remembered that.
It was a trap. As soon as you got close, the foothold soldiers, dozens of them, they sprang out of hiding and surrounded you. And then, you had attempted to take the beast hostage using your powers as Avatar of the Rot.
Yeah.
And in case you're wondering, that's something she said she would do between sessions. I'm not, making this choice for her.
if he hadn't ended the session there, that would have been my next move, was to take the beast hostage.
Well, Can you roll an unarmed strike against the beast's AC?
Yeah.
You got this.
Let's see if I can do this all cool.
The beast's AC
really
is pretty high, so.
I believe in you, Carol.
Get another nat 20.
Let's see. It's a 2.
No!
Okay, I believed real hard.
You didn't believe hard enough.
I'm sorry, it's my fault. This is on me, guys.
I need your emotional labor, okay?
Oh my goodness.
The beast had been ready for you this time. It must have known not to attack you directly. It lifted up a large boulder with its one good arm, smashing you to the side as you closed in. The last thing you remember is floating on the surface of the marshy water, your vision blurred as the soldiers closed in around you on all sides. Tsutsutsu was calling your name over and over, and then everything went dark. None of that seems to explain how you got here, though, wherever here is. You find yourself in a luxurious suite.
Oh.
Lying on a plush chaise longue.
Oh? Oh, like delicately with one arm, like, splayed across the...
Sure, yes, you are a beautiful, attractive sight splayed out on this chaise
lounge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have rarely felt such comfort since your mom sent you to live with Thedulf and the druids. You look around the room and see flowing silk curtains and masterfully crafted furniture.
Oh, shit. I should get arrested, like, every day.
An ornate writing desk, a huge four-poster bed with drapes, a beautiful wardrobe with golden detailing. What do you do first in this strange but cushy chamber?
Cushy. Side comment. Someone's clearly tried to, like, interior seduce you.
Hell yeah.
That was immense interior design.
Seriously.
I like a man who can seduce me with his interior design.
Yeah.
What do I do first? Can I do any kind of, like, checks for magic or traps?
What abilities do you have? Or if you just want to do, like, perception,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, I was just thinking of rolling.
Yeah, okay, yeah, if you want to give me a perception roll, by all means.
Hang on. I think I can do detect magic, maybe? You know what? I'm going to start with a roll, if that's cool. Yeah. I'm going to do, like maybe an investigation.
Okay.
It's a nat 20.
Holy shit.
Goddamn! Yeah.
2 20s already?
Yeah.
Weighted dice? Should we get a dice cam?
Oh, yeah. That's bitter.
I think what I need to do is just keep, like, a bunch of shit in front of me so that way it ricochets off of everything. That's clearly what's happening right now.
Brilliant planning. Listeners, if you're out there.
Yeah. Tips.
Tips.
Pro tips.
All right, well, you take a look around the room and you very cautiously, like, sort of pat everything down. And you go up to the door and turn the latch, but it seems to be locked from the other side.
Uh-huh.
And you continue searching around, and eventually you make your way around to a window. And it's a nice, big, sort of... What do you call those? The sort of, like, bay windows?
It's got, like, a balcony on it?
No, there's no balcony outside, but there's...
I'm so disappointed.
Is bay window the thing I'm thinking of that's, like, sort of got, like, the bench and, like, it's got, like, the curved...
I think so.
Yeah, well, hopefully that's the right term. We'll call it a bay window.
Is there a bay outside the window?
No, you look outside and your heart sinks as you see the foothold of Immorta's re-education camp.
Okay.
You hear a knock on the door and a clunk in the lock. The door opens and in steps Father Gortok.
That was me hissing with fear. Oh, wait, Gortok.
It's Papa Gore.
No.
His old bearded face cracks into a huge smile as his eyes fall on you. Oh, good. You're awake. It's a pleasure to finally properly meet you, Zoe of the Surface Druids.
Oh, thank... Oh, God, you got the wrong person.
Meanwhile...
So, like, cut that right off. Nope, not today. Oh.
Meanwhile... Gore's kind of rude, guys.
Seriously.
Cut her off.
Meanwhile, Zealous.
Yeah?
Today is a day like any other. You perch up in a tree, looking down the wall of the spire at one of the eastern villages of the Orgelad Mountains, which sits in a circle of trees on a large outcropping of earth, about 100 or so yards below you. A white dragon was on its way to vent its frustrations on the unsuspecting townsfolk, but you will be here to meet it, and the people below will never know that they were in any danger. And as always, you will do it alone. You're used to this solitude. After all, you've been living on your own for your entire life. But no, you feel a pang of longing in your chest. Something is missing. What is it? Zealous, today is a day like any other. You and Onyx perch up in a tree looking down the wall of the spire at one of the eastern villages of the Orgelad Mountains. It's midwinter, which means that the sun and moon are on the other side of the spire. It is impossible to say whether it is day or night. During the long months of winter, the Orgelads are plunged in seemingly endless darkness. But the lights of the village below shine bright as the townsfolk move in strange patterns in the town square. You think it's called dancing. But even with Onyx at your side, something still feels wrong. Daughter of the Storm? What's the matter?
Sorry. I don't know why I'm laughing. Sorry, I need it. Something doesn't feel right.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Can I roll something to see if, like, I can, like, rummage through my brain to see if I remember anything?
Zealous, today is a day like any other. You perch up in a tree with Onyx and Lorelei, ready and waiting to stop the white dragon from crashing the town festival below. You can't see much immediately around you, but you know the Orgelads like the back of your hand. As long as you're in the wild, you can navigate in the dark no problem. You feel Lorelei's hand slip into yours and give it a squeeze. You're not nervous, are you? We've done this a million times. That dragon won't know what hit it when you show up.
No, I'm not nervous with you.
She leans her head on your shoulder. Then suddenly you hear the crunching of large feet in the snow on a ledge a short distance below you. Lorelei whispers, "Down there!" You look down to the ledge below you and you see the silhouette of a white dragon's head peering over the edge at the village below. Lorelei pulls out her lute, which hums with magic energy. After you. Roll for initiative.
Oh, wait, why?
I need a moment. Oh my god.
I feel like our DM is being real mean to us.
Yeah, so I got an 8 in total.
8, okay.
Oh my god. Oh,
it's my favorite couple.
Lorelei.
Okay, so...
It's a cruel sham.
That's okay. I'll take cruel sham.
Yeah. So will Zealous.
Real life hurts. Real life reality just hurts. Give me fake relationships.
In all those situations where a character's like, no, if you stay here too long, you'll become part of the fake. You'll die. Yeah. It's like, I'm okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Totally.
That's cool. Leave me.
I'm like trying to figure out what the hell is happening right now.
Yeah, you're about to cry there.
Honestly, I had tears in my eyes when Lorelei...
Like, she leaned her beautiful haired head on your shoulder. That was really poorly
described. All of us trying to remember what she looks like.
I'm not the DM. I'm not the one making beautiful pictures with words.
She has dusty blonde hair, which she wears in a bun on top of her head, and she has square glasses.
Aww, she's so cute.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, and then I don't need to roll the dragon's initiative yet because it has not noticed you. So first up we have Lorelei, and she's going to start playing the song for you on the lute, which she wrote for you as she was traveling out of the spire. You feel inspired as you prepare to jump down on the dragon. Zealous and Onyx, you're up, and you've got the element of surprise on your side.
Yes, so the...
Wait, nobody rolled higher than 8?
Well, the dragon hasn't rolled.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Then Lorelei went first.
So the dragon's on the ledge below us, right?
Yeah, you're in a tree above the dragon.
Okay, so I would like to cast Ensnaring Strike and take my short sword and jump down and just...
Okay, sweet.
The description was real solid there.
Pardon me. I want to jump down and go stabby stabby.
All right. So you leap down from the tree with vines growing from your hand around your sword, and Onyx leaps down after you, and the dragon, alerted by Lorelei's song, turns up in surprise right as you're coming down on it.
Oh, great.
So roll me your first, roll me your 2 attack rolls.
So the first one's a 20.
Okay.
And then the second one is an 11.
She says it's some cash.
It was
16
plus
4. Okay,
not a natural.
Okay, so not a critical hit. So we got a 20, and what was the second one?
11.
11? Okay. Yeah, this is a large creature, yeah. So it will have advantage on this. Your first blow lands true, square between the dragon's eyes, and vines spray out in all directions and start throttling it, and it starts shaking violently, and your second attack misses due to this shaking. But let's see if this shaking is enough to get it away from the vines. So what was the saving throw again that it had to make?
12.
12? Okay, it rolled a 13. So it snaps the vines, but you do a sweet backflip and land in the snow next to the dragon, and Onyx lands on the dragon immediately after. And unfortunately, during the dragon's thrashing, it manages to knock Onyx away, but she lands safely next to you. Can you roll the damage for that first?
Yes, so two.
Two? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, since you had the element of surprise, it doesn't get to move on this round, but it will roll initiative now.
Okay.
And it rolled a five.
Oh!
Oh, no, dragon was just chilling.
Yeah, man, leave the dragon alone.
And its dex is zero, so five plus zero.
Wow.
I was just going for a walk, and it looked down and saw people dancing, and was like, ooh! And then you stabby-stabbed it.
Yes.
You dancing snacks.
All right.
Sonic.
I love it when my snacks fight back.
Snack back.
You do. Snack that fights back. Go-Gurt. Wait, no. What is Go-Gurt saying?
That's goldfish. You're thinking of goldfish.
Goldfish,
oh my god.
Go-Gurt.
Snack back. Go-Gurt. Back.
Go-Gurt. All right. Well, just as the music above you is swelling, Lorelei pulls out a piece of glass and snaps her fingers and it shatters and shards of glass appear all around the dragon and begins stabbing at it.
Oh. Yes. Lorelei.
And it will take...
glass magic.
And she will
take... I love her.
Glass magic.
The dragon will take 44 slashing damage.
Did you just say you love her?
Yes, Zulus loves her.
I think Tessa loves her too. Okay. Annie.
Just the like stages of like
yeah.
Non-answer on her face.
All right, Zulus and Onyx are up again.
Okay, I'm gonna go stabby stabby again with my short swords.
Can you make the stabby stabby sounds?
Yeah.
Are you able to do a ranged attack? Like, because Lorelei's shards of glass are still spinning around this thing, so it might be dangerous to get right up next to it.
Oh. Okay, let me see then. One second.
Well, a little blood never hurt anybody.
And how far away is it from me now?
15 feet. Your backflip was pretty far.
Them gams.
Yeah, damn it. Why do I have to be so cool?
Ah, darn.
I'm going to use my breath weapon. I'll use my breath weapon.
Cool. And what's the saving throw on that?
The saving throw is Constitution 14.
It's going to take full damage from that.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So, let me
stinky
do that right now.
Breath. Stinky breath.
10 damage.
Oh.
Zulus takes a great big breath in and through the cloud of glass unleashes this big plume of green gas and the dragon takes it full on in the face and it's choking as the glass whips and slashes all around it.
Yes.
And Onyx is not going to attack on this turn, but she's going to stay next to you.
Feel bad for this dragon.
You might not feel so bad after the dragon's turn. So the dragon lunges out from the cloud of glass and it's going to do a multi-attack against Zulus. But first it's coming in with its teeth.
The teeth.
What was your AC again?
12.
Okay, it got 13 total.
Mother effort.
These 13s.
So it got 13 for a bite. And then it's going to do two clawing actions. The first claw is going to miss.
Second two?
And the second claw is also going to miss.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it lunges in and you see as its teeth are mere inches away from your face. Timsy.
Uh-oh.
You sit next to Zulus atop the rock in the marsh, sword drawn in case any more of those slug creatures decide to give you a hard time.
What is happening? Oh my gosh, okay.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry,
let's do this.
I think you're forgetting something important here.
Tinsy's confused.
She hasn't woken up yet. You look over to where she sleeps and see Onyx curled up with her head resting on Zealous's lap. Zealous's rest seems much more calm since you cured her, but how long is it going to be before she wakes up? It's surely been more than a day now. You've already worked through another one of your day's rations while you waited.
Oh man, I don't have that many. Damn it, Zealous. Just move that.
How many do you have left?
One.
Oh no.
Oh no.
You can take some of mine because I have some.
Yours probably has meat in it.
Just take the veggies or whatever else.
Bugs.
I think you've already eaten the bug rations. You gave one to Tsutsutsu and then you ate one yourself. Tinsy's probably right. The rest probably all does have like cured meat and stuff in it. But suddenly, Tinsy, you feel a familiar tingling sensation around your neck. You put your hand to your throat and you feel the guardian blink. It seems restless. You feel as though you could activate its magic, but who is it that's in danger?
Who is it? Who is it? What's going on? Can I just activate it?
Yeah.
Wait.
So you focus in, and you feel the familiar sensation of time slowing as you raise your sword and shield.
I made mistakes!
And this time, you're very aware of being pulled into a strange alternate plane.
I made mistakes!
I'm sorry, just Tessa's face.
You just abandoned me! I am unconscious!
No!
I'm gonna die!
Tinty didn't think this through. She was like, oh no, someone's in danger. And then, literally, within seconds, oops.
The marsh is replaced with bizarre curly grass and impossible flora that climbs all the way to the cavern ceiling. But before you can take it all in, a freezing cold darkness explodes out from Zelus's sleeping body, enveloping you. Your eyes adjust to the dim light, just in time to raise up your shield, as a white dragon's teeth come down upon you.
What the?
But it did not beat your AC.
What is happening? You're in my dream world.
So the dragon's eyes light up with shock as it comes into contact with your shield, and you can make your counterattack now.
I'm smacking in the face. Tizzy's gonna smack you in the face. Okay, am I rolling?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am shook.
Oh my god.
And roll with advantage because the dragon is startled.
That was 17. So that was 12 plus 5, and this is 14 plus 5, so 19.
Okay, yeah, that's gonna hit. So you swing your sword through the dragon, and it dissolves into smoke.
What is going on?
Does Zelus recognize her? Do I know who she is?
Yeah, you see Tinsy, and suddenly your memories of her come rushing back to you. But before anyone can react to whatever the hell is going on right now, you hear a voice from above you, and it says, "Well, who are you?"
Stranger danger.
And you both look up to the tree, and you see Lorelei smiling down at you with an inhuman grin going from one ear to the other. And she hops down from the tree, landing in the snow next to you.
What?
I'm gonna cry. You're playing with my emotions, dude.
Tinsy looks between Lorelei and Zelus. Where am I? What's going on? Who are you?
And as Lorelei smiles at you, the scenery around you melts away and it returns to the strange alternate version of the marsh that you had briefly been in before the dragon hit your shield.
I'm having a breakdown.
I don't understand.
This strange version of Lorelei walks in a circle around you, still smiling, with teeth going from one ear to the next. Her head tilts side to side, and she says, "I came all this way to see the one who made the storm cry out." And you hear voices all around you just say, "Oh no, not my daughter, someone save my daughter."
Is Zelus awake now? Is she still sleeping at this point?
You look at Zelus, and she seems, like, semi-transparent. You would guess that you have entered her dream. And as you look to Onyx, Onyx also seems semi-transparent.
Uh-oh. What do you want with Zelus?
Zelus? Oh yes, this one.
And Lorelei walks right up to Zelus and runs her hand down her cheek. And
ooh, you can't do that!
Tinsy's gonna wants to charge in and attack.
Okay. So you run in and you swing your sword, and Lorelei immediately turns to bubbles, which drift through the air and move out of range and reform back into Lorelei. Oh. And she just laughs. And it doesn't sound like a malicious laugh, but she sounds very entertained.
What do you want? And also, is that bubble thing like a normal thing? Like, can I also make bubbles? Like, make me into bubbles? But answer the first one first.
I came because I was curious about the storm's daughter, but
And she walks up to Tintsy and kneels down. She's still got that creepy ass smile and her head tilts to the side and says,
Tintsy tilts her head to the side with her.
I'm even more curious about you. And she sort of like places an index finger on your nose.
I place my finger on her nose.
I'm really curious about you.
I don't know how you found your way here.
And she looks to Zealous and says,
but it's a shame that you've left your friend to die.
And looks down, and you see Zealous' sleeping body still atop the rock on the marsh. Meanwhile...
I have so many questions.
I felt like I drank before this recording. That's how I feel. Like, all of a sudden, like, I came in already drunk. Like, I was already, like, 6 shots in. And they were like, okay, let's get this party rolling. I was like, wait, it already, what?
I feel like I'm going to need to drink after this.
Seriously, same.
All right, so Feral, Father Gortok has just entered the room and addressed you as Zoe.
Yeah, you got, like, the wrong person. I don't know Zoe. I don't know. Maybe I could help you find Zoe if you let me out? Perchance?
There's no need to be coy. Or perhaps I'm wrong and you are not Zoe. And is Zoe perhaps the name of your group? We did hear a report from our holy beast said, I believe you told the beast that your friends were Zoe too, yes?
Well, I mean, people say things when they're, you know, like, scared or, like, in the heat of battle and, like, there's, like, a giant beast coming at them and, like, I don't know what Zoe means, but it called me Zoe and, like, I don't know, is that an insult? Because, like, same to him, right? Zoe.
Well. I see you are being rather obstinate. I'm a little disappointed. And he reaches into a pocket and he pulls out a piece of paper and Tintsy's owlbear feather. And he reads off the piece of paper and says,
oh no.
Hey, we'll be back. We found something and it's really cool, but just hang on, okay? Love you. And it is signed Zoe XO.
I'm laughing out loud at this point.
Oh, Feral is laughing.
Oh my god.
Father Gortok watches you laugh and his eye twitches a little bit, but he like keeps the smile on his face.
No, you got it so wrong. No one's Zoe. There's no such thing as a Zoe. It's like hugs and kisses. You don't have like grandkids or like great grandkids or great grandkids.
I have grandchildren, yes.
Yeah, you never sign your letters hugs and kisses.
Is this a surface thing?
Yeah, it's a surface thing. It's totally innocent.
Even though you're telling the truth, roll persuasion.
It was worth it just to watch you read it, though.
This is a roller coaster.
I'm crying, I'm scared, I'm laughing.
I was for real like, so?
Eber Roper like gave it 2 thumbs
20
up.
20 minutes.
So that's going to be a 13 plus 2.
13 plus 2? Yeah, okay. So Father Gortok finally like nods and says, all right, perhaps I had a mistake.
I've solved your puzzle.
Papa Gork is not doing well.
No, he's not.
Papa Gortok came in with the wrong receipts, didn't do his research.
Mm-hmm. He did come in with something else. He has a nice large bottle of wine, which he places down on the coffee table, and places 2 glasses down, and takes a seat and says, I'm very excited to speak with you, not Zoe.
Okay, first thing first, that is absolutely the first rule in how what not to do when you're captured is don't drink the wine or put your lips on the glass or refuse any chewing gum. No, thank you.
Well, druidic magic is forbidden here, but if you have any spells or abilities that will let you see that this wine is safe, I invite you to go ahead and cast them now.
Fine. I want to... Let's see.
Didn't I say earlier that someone was trying to, like, interior design seduce
her? Oh, God, no. Yeah. Oh, God, no.
And can I just say, I feel like we will need, like, an after show to this episode after it's done.
To debrief.
So, who's gonna pay for my therapy after this?
Honestly. Yeah. Alright, well, okay. Alright, I'm gonna cast Detect Poison and Disease. I want to also maybe see if I can secretly cast Detect Magic on, like, maybe the door, or is there, like, a bed? Did you say there was a bed?
There is a bed.
Yeah, I want to see if there's, like, a magical trap set out for me or something.
Okay.
But I'll do Detect Poison and Disease first.
Okay, so you cast that on the bottle, and you're able to sense rot within Father Gortok, but the bottle itself seems clean.
And then... I want to secretly cast Detect Magic. Do you need me to roll anything?
Because you're casting it at the same time as another spell, I'll get you to roll stealth with advantage.
Cool. Yeah, okay.
This is staying like PG-13, right, y'all?
It's like World Spire After Hours.
I am your DM. Like at the end of the day, I'm a pretty wholesome person.
I'm only joking.
It's like late night with Father Gortok and Feral.
Papa Gork.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Especially like, not right after meeting a hot
hang
elf.
Hang on. More like Daddy Gore.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Yeah, no, so that's what you get.
Okay. It is definitely Daddy Gore.
Okay, so it was a 19 plus 3.
I regret all decisions of my life.
So, oh, yeah. 22.
Yeah, he has no idea that you're casting two spells.
Oh, dang, Pharaoh.
Yeah, Father Gortok fully believes that you've just cast the one spell he invited you to cast. As soon as you cast your druid magic, you hear some alarms going off in the distance, but he pulls out this device and waves his hand over it, and they're silenced very quickly.
Okay.
He sort of gestures to the seat across from him.
Wait.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, yeah.
What did the magic spell do?
That's right.
You?
Your detect magic. You do sense... Like, not surprisingly, you sense necrotic magic from Father Gortok.
Oh.
Oh, okay, surprisingly then.
Okay. He's a zombie?
But you also detect magic from the door, an enchantment that you would guess is in place to keep it locked.
What about the window?
The window... doesn't seem to be enchanted, but it also doesn't have any spaces that open.
Okay, is there anything else that I should know? Because I did get a 19 plus 3.
That was just on your stealth to cast the spell.
Oh, okay. Damn.
But yes, he gestures to the seat across from him and pours out two glasses of wine.
There's no way we can, like, talk real quick. Without the wine.
Well, if you don't trust me, I understand. There's no need to drink the wine. But I wanted to speak with you because when I saw you and your companions the other day down in the chapel, you, out of your group, you were the only one who tried to have a dialogue with us. You were the only one who seemed to respond to reason. You even went as far as volunteering to go to the detention center in order to avoid violence, and your friends, they forced your hand. I want to have a dialogue with you. I want to come to an understanding because I sense something special in you.
It wasn't the whole I can make your rot disappear thing.
I have heard that you did quite a number on the holy beast. My men are calling for your head right now. I would like to avoid that, because someone who can do what you do, I want to have on my side.
Alright, go on.
I just want to know.
Who are you? Where are you from? Why are you here?
Talking smack about us, Tessa.
I know. I am upset.
Rude.
If you join a cult right now, just know that when Zealous wakes up,
she's ripping through the space-time fabric and just coming at you. What do you know? Surely you know something about me, right? Look at me using words like surely.
I truly know nothing. I didn't know that there even was a surface circle of druids still left. We very likely would have come after you if we had known. We would have brought the good word to you. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I know that our way of thinking is not yours, and you are not simply going to accept what I have to say immediately.
You didn't know that maybe, from what I heard, there was something here that belonged to us. We came looking for it, and you seemed to not realize that it was here long before you.
He leans forward, and he puts his chin on one of his fists and considers you, and he says, "You're not referring to the Circle of the Deep Woods, are you?"
So you do know about it?
Of course, of course. We here at Sanctum Impedit, we came here, goodness, decades ago now, because the druids here, they stand in direct opposition to the message of our late Messiah, the Lady Immorta. We came here not to be their enemies, but to teach them the error in their ways, to teach them that the next life is not to be feared. The world spire is changing. Surely you, as a druid, have noticed that the world spire is dying. But that doesn't have to be the end of the spire. We can join it in its next life.
Ugh. If you are about to join a cult, I swear.
If Clement ever says, "I'm here to speak about the good word," run. He will convince you.
I mean, and I you would, will follow. But there are traps on the door. So, I don't know why the rot has gotten stronger, if that's what you wanted to know.
Not at all. We can perhaps learn together over time the mysteries of the rot, but it was about 50 years ago that Lady Immorta came to us. She brought us word of the rot. We had some understanding of it before, though we as the foothold of Immorta did not exist quite yet back then. Back then, we had the 8 dwarven clans.
And what happened to them?
Well, after Lady Immorta came, she was the first messiah that we have received in many thousands of years. So it didn't take long for the rest of the religions to crumble as she rose up the foothold of Immorta.
You mean they're dead?
Oh, no, no. They're, most people have simply converted. After all, we had a living messiah. Who wouldn't take that as evidence of the truth of her words? And we've had another messiah since.
Okay, yeah, you can just tell me, because I know you're going to want me to be like, "Oh, who's the messiah?"
Oh my god, Feral! The sass is so good.
Oh, Father Gortok chuckles at your sass and he says, "No need to be obstinate." Well,
he's
yes.
He's falling in love, man.
God, no.
Someone's in love with Feral. The tension's real.
Can I do like a check to see if he's got like an elevated heart rate or if his like pupils are dilating Sherlock style?
You can do
that interior design.
you can do an insight roll if you want to.
Oh, okay, cool. Let's see.
Make it canon.
I got a +7 on my insight, so yeah, it's a 22.
He does not appear to be in love with you.
Oh damn it.
Yes, okay.
I'm disappointed.
Broken hearted.
Well, as you asked before, yes, there have been, in the last 50 years, some remnants of the old dwarven religions, though they are few and far between, but over the last decade or so, well, maybe not that long, I'm not very good with time, but in recent years, another messiah came to us, Lady Irius of the Arakakra. And you recognize this name immediately. She is your current queen.
Interesting.
But she was not from the House Immorta. She was from House... Oh, goodness, what was it? He snaps his fingers and says, ah, yes, I remember. House Morphus, that is the house she was from. He sees the confusion on her face and says, oh, well, surely you from the surface would know of the Arakakran houses of the Spire's Crown, would you not?
He doesn't seem to know much of the world above, right?
Yeah, from what he's been saying, you would guess that his knowledge of the surface world, which is out, not up,
sorry.
is fairly limited.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of them.
Good, good. Then, yes. So you know the 8 Arakakran houses of the Spire's Crown, and the 8 dwarven religions were all based on one of these. They say back in ancient times the Arakakra would come to us directly with requests, but now it's very rare to see any Arakakra except for the ones that need to go up and down through our elevator to get through the eternal storm. But I digress. I digress. Lady Irius is of House Morphus, but just as everyone outside of the foothold of Immorta thought that she had come to deliver some message against us, she in fact came to endorse our great efforts here. She has endorsed Lith Immorta's message, and for that, well, that is the true reason why you won't see very many other religions down here. The foothold of Immorta, it exists within every inch of the Spire.
What else do you know about the outside world?
Oh, goodness. By the law of the Arakakra, the connections between our world and the surface world are fairly limited. It's fairly risky for me to even be talking to you here, but I think that I am doing the right thing in attempting to reform you and your companions.
So.
I mean, even if I wanted to tell you, I don't know where anyone is right now.
Well, he claps his hands together. Not to worry. For now, I'll allow you to make yourself comfortable and feel free to wander around the camp, though I will have an escort for you. And he claps his hands twice and the door opens again and you see the same guard, actually, who you first saw when you were coming up from underneath the statue, and he says...
Hey, friend!
Hello there, druid.
Hey, yeah, hey, you remember friend, right?
Friend, yes.
Yeah,
yes, friend.
Yeah, got it.
Well, I have told my guard here that you are to have free run of the camp. You are not to leave the camp for now. Yeah, as long as you are within his sight, feel free to go anywhere you like.
All right.
And talk to whomever you please. And downstairs there is actually somebody who would like to give you a tour, in fact.
Oh, now?
Whenever you're ready.
Is it going to be the sexy ankles?
I hope it's sexy ankles.
All right, well, I mean, you gotta go do some stuff. You're all busy, and, you know...
Indeed, I am.
I got clobbered by your soldiers, so I'm a little sleepy still. Is friend gonna be here in the room?
He will be just outside, but perhaps I will call up the other person. You know our artificer, Tsutsutsu, yes?
Yes.
Well, he was very worried about you, so shall I tell him to come on up, then?
Yes.
All right, well, I shall see you later, then, and he shall be up shortly.
Okay, bye!
Meanwhile...
Oh my god!
I swear to god, if Tsutsutsu turns out to be evil, I'm gonna burn everything.
Oh my god.
You know, it's really funny that my therapist thinks that I'm talking to them because of my sad childhood, but really it's because of this D&D that I have to talk to my therapist.
And then my dad got turned into a zombie. I'm like, okay.
And then I ended my friend's dream.
mean, but to be fair, I left her to die, but it's not my fault.
But I mean, that just happens sometimes, you know?
Conditions.
All right, well, this strange version of Lorelei is crouched down next to Zelus's sleeping body, which, Zelus, for you, is a very strange sight, looking down at her crouching next to yourself. I don't even know if you recognize yourself. I think once you mentioned that you didn't even realize you had a dragon face.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no.
No, she's never looked in the mirror. So not only
does someone be drinking water in the pond or...
She doesn't understand, like, reflection that water can reflect.
Oh my god. Okay. Do you guys remember the beginning we thought Zelus was cool?
So just to keep in, like, mind, so not only is the love of her life, does she think that she's evil or whatever it is, that she thought she was in a happy place, but instead, freaking Lorelei turned out to be Momo, and now she's realizing that she's the thing that she hates most of all.
Remember when Zelus used to be super cool, and then we found out she was dumb?
I miss cool Zelus.
But some dumb Zelus is so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Come on.
It's inconvenient, but I do like dumb Zelus.
So this Lorelei crouches down next to Zelus, stroking her cheek and looking at her, and says,
I can truly understand why this one is so attracted to her. She's so brave and so strong. So strong. Such a shame that they may never get to see each other again,
and looks to Tintsy.
Because her friend abandoned her to save a false image of her. Such a shame.
Can I use Misty Step?
You can, but where are you going to Misty Step to?
So, it doesn't say that it can't cross different types of planes or whatever.
If an ability can let you cross planes, it will definitely say so.
It just says, to an unoccupied space, I can see. Because I can see. I should be able to use Misty's step and teleport there.
I mean, I don't see where that's false.
Okay, but you don't really see the location of Zelus. You just see Zelus in this strange alternate world. This strange Lorelei says,
if you do want to save her, you have very little time left.
And nods her head to indicate a short distance away from you. And you both turn around and behind you, you see a dark elf man fighting one of those slug monsters that you had fought before, but this one is much, much larger.
The slug elf? The slug?
The slug, yeah.
Okay. He's not like a giant dark elf man?
No. A dark elf man wearing well-fitted leathers, fighting off this giant slug creature, defending Zelus.
It's such a shame, because first he will die, and then she will die. Unless...
Can I use Missy's step and just teleport over to where he is?
You can, but again, you're seeing an image of him rather than...
So angry! Okay.
Oh, wait, but...
Well, what do you mean? How do I get back to her?
Oh, you know what? I want to watch how your adventure unfolds, so...
She walks up to...
Wait!
No, it's too late.
You were super curious with me. I feel like we could be friends with this.
Well, as you're saying this, she walks up to Zelus and Onyx and gives them a shove, and you feel a falling sensation as you reawaken in your body, and you wake up with a start. And then Lorelei turns back to Tintsy, and she crouches down, but she's not looking at you. She's looking at the guardian blink around your neck, and she taps it with her finger and says,
excuse me, your job for today isn't done.
And the guardian blink lights up, and suddenly, with a flash, the environment around you is gone, and you find yourself back on top of the rock in the marsh. And Lorelei is gone.
I'm not gonna get used to this. Is Zelus still there?
Yes, and she has woken up now, and so has Onyx. Please roll for initiative.
Oh god, do we remember? Do I remember?
Yeah, you all remember everything that's just happened.
Zelus, I'm sorry!
Zelus looks at you and just like a dead glare, like just so angry.
I'm trying to save you! I didn't know this was gonna happen!
You didn't know who you were saving.
Okay, you don't know that!
Yes, I do. You don't know who you're saving.
This dark elf man hearing you bicker turns around and shouts something to you in a language you don't understand and continues fighting.
I got 14 plus 1.
Well, I don't even know what he's saying. I got 21.
I don't know what he's saying either. See, it's okay. Things are gonna work out. It always works out with us.
Yeah, well, who knows?
You better not let him die.
Can we just work together and get back to Feyreul?
I walk towards where they're fighting.
Oh, come on!
I run after her.
Okay, Tinsy, what did you get for initiative?
I got 15.
Also, the gray squirrel, like, sticks its head out of your armor and he looks real dizzy from all this.
That poor thing.
I get it, buddy. Me too.
And also, I just want to say, Zila's doesn't matter with you, but I understand. Tessa understands why you went. But Zilas is not. She is very upset.
Your magical jewelry started glowing.
Wait, Zilas wouldn't know that I wouldn't know who I'm going to, because normally I get to choose when my guardian blinks happen, so you wouldn't know that I
yeah,
didn't
know. Yeah, but you didn't know. So you're going to lie to Zilas?
No, because... Oh, yeah. That's not true. Tinsy is not a liar.
Zilas and Onyx, your turn begins now.
Oh, God. Okay, well, I run towards the thing, I take out my short swords, and I want to do the stabby stabby.
Okay, give me your two rolls.
Stabby stabby.
With sound effects, please.
This is what I want it to sound like when they hit the slug. I want it to be, like, almost like a balloon popping, but, like, you pop it with, like, a water balloon, so then there's, like, a gush. So then it's just, like, a pin, you pop the water balloon with this, like, yeah, that's what I want it to be.
What?
So the first one's 12. And then
you
the
lost
second
me
one
so quickly.
It's 10.
12 and 10?
Yeah.
So, and that's your total, right? With all modifiers and everything?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah. You run in and you swing your two swords, but this creature's tentacles whip and lash and knock them out of the way. And Onyx is also going to strike. So Onyx is going to use Pounce and try and knock this huge slug over.
Hell yeah.
This Pounce is going to hit, and it's going to have to make a... It's going to have to make a saving throw to try and avoid getting knocked down. Ah, it is going to succeed, but it's still going to get damaged.
Yes.
So...
Pop that slug!
Onyx is going to do...
Make it gush!
6 damage!
Oh, well, better than nothing, better than me. Make it gush. Like a
it's
gusher.
Like a single drop come out.
Alright, so Onyx leaps clear over your heads and sticks her claws into the slug's side, and the slug wavers a little bit but manages to stay upright, but Onyx claws her claws down its side. So next up is Tinsy.
Is the druid guy, like, looking like he's hurt a lot?
You assume he's a druid?
Oh, sorry, the dude with the leather. Does he look hurt?
Looked like he's taken a few hits at this point.
As a bonus action, I'm gonna cast Shield of Faith on him.
Okay.
And then I'm going to attack with my sword and shield.
Okay. What does Shield of Faith do again?
A Shield of Faith. A shimmering field appears and surrounds a creature of your choice within range, granting it a +2 bonus to AC for the duration.
Okay, cool.
Only because I assume he was protecting Zealous, because that's what the lady said. The creepy lady. Mm-hmm. The creepy Lorelei.
Alright, and then you're going to attack with your sword and shield?
Yeah, for my double wieldingness.
Yeah, do it.
Okay. You got this.
And I also am allowed to attack twice instead of once whenever I use the attack action on my turn.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Which one should I do first? Should I do the long sword first?
You can do them in whatever order you want.
Okay, so that is... 14 for the first attack.
Okay.
That is 20, so 50 plus 5.
Damn.
For the second attack.
Those are both with a longsword?
Longsword, and then the shield, I think we said was going to be an unarmed.
Yeah.
So all my pluses are 5s. And then the third attack is 12 plus 5, 17? Did I do math?
Yeah,
right?
You did.
Yeah.
So you run in, and this creature seems a lot more deft than the smaller ones that you fought earlier, and it's good at defending itself with its tentacles. It deflects your first longsword blow, but you're able to land your second one. So can you roll damage for the second longsword blow?
So 6 plus 4, so 10.
10 damage, nice. Okay. And then your shield goes into its side, but it just sort of squishes and doesn't feel like it's doing any damage.
Damn. And then describe my spell.
So yes, Tinsy, you, as you were running in, you cast this, and this shimmering magic covered the dark elf, and he nodded to you in appreciation and continued fighting. So next up, we have him.
Tinsy reflects on Feral. Didn't you say something about somebody?
Like, as a person, or you reflect on our friendship, or...
I don't know.
Okay, so...
Yeah, whatever.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I feel like that would be Zealous's mom's voice.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Oh, if only I had a mom.
Is Zealous's mom... Or not Zealous. Zealous. Is Tinsy's mom a wine mom?
I don't know my mom.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're the only one that knows their mom,
yeah.
Carol.
Yeah, you're the only one with a
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, between the three of you, you have one living parent that you know of.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
She can be your mom.
No, she was weird. She taught Zealous about Kegels. Tinsy doesn't understand still.
Alright, so the Dark Elf, bolstered by you guys having woken up and joining him in the fray, runs back in, and he has a dagger in each hand, both of which are very ornately crafted. And the giant, disgusting slug thing seems to sense him coming in and whips a tendril out, or one of its tentacles out towards him, but he reacts in time and throws a grappling hook up around its neck and swings up towards the top of it and chokes it in a little bit and slashes with both of his daggers.
Hell yeah.
Can I make a joke that should not stay in the podcast?
Yes. Sure.
A feral, he knows how to choke.
Okay. Should that stay in the podcast? It's pretty good.
You know what? I'll allow it this time.
Oh no!
He managed to do 13 damage with that.
Wow.
And
nice.
Next up is the giant slug, and it's going to it's going to try and shake him off, and it failed.
Yay.
Yeah. It failed to shake him off, so he still has the rope of the grappling hook around its neck? Question mark? It's swinging
Jabba
around.
Jabba the Hutt situation?
Yeah, it's very Jabba the Hutt-esque, except this... But this thing is much larger than Jabba the Hutt. The other slugs he fought were closer to Jabba the Hutt size. He manages to stay on. Zealous and Onyx, go.
Okay, so I'm gonna use my short swords again.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Alright, give me your attack rolls.
Ooh, so one's a 20. Not natural, though. The next is a 12.
Okay, you run in once again, and you give it a good stab with the first sword. Straight into the slug, like a knife through butter. But the second sword doesn't manage to find purchase as it blocks it, that one as well. So can you roll me the one damage roll?
Yeah. So that would be a 5.
And then Onyx, it's going to attempt to bite.
Chomp chomp, Onyx.
That was a 1, though.
Oh no!
With your dentist, Onyx.
Oh no! This whole time. She's had dentures. It just stays on the slug.
Alright, well, Onyx can't find an opportunity to get into the slug's guard, but she's standing by and ready to strike whenever the opportunity presents itself.
That's okay, Onyx. It probably tastes really gross.
Tinsy, you're up.
Or really good.
So I am going to cast Bless.
Okay.
On myself, on Zealous, and... Ooh, do I want to do it on the elf dude? Yeah,
don't let him die.
Dude. I was impressed with his fighting.
Nice.
And his choke.
So I'm going to go to Zealous, and I'm gonna turn to him. Don't take this the wrong way. Mwah!
He blushes a little bit, but he looks more confused than anything.
And then I hug and go, mwah! Hug myself.
What, Is Bless a bonus action or is it your full action?
It's my full action.
Okay. So next up, we have the Dark Elf. And he's going to continue slashing away at this thing from up on above. That's going to hit. And that's not going to hit. Well, the first one hits.
Don't forget.
Oh, but yeah, you're right. He's got Bless. So that's a plus a d4.
Get blessed. yeah, d4.
Okay, Bless they both hit then.
Nice.
Yes.
And then I'll just roll that damage. Okay, so that's going to do 13 again.
Damn.
Yeah, man. So yes, this elven man has a firm purchase on top of the giant slug and is continuing to slash away with his knives and using the bless of Tinsy's magic manages to find purchase with both of his strikes. The slug is starting to look rather worse for the wear.
Yeah.
It's bleeding quite a lot.
Ew.
It's gross as hell.
Oh, is it like a gusher or water balloon?
More like a gusher.
Like a candy gusher?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not nice.
Zealous, you're up.
I want to do my stabby stabby.
Go for it.
With my short swords. So that is an 8.
Yeah, that one's not going to hit.
And then a 23.
Well, that one will definitely hit.
Yeah.
It wasn't a natural 20, was it?
No, it was a 19 plus 4.
Okay.
Don't forget your bonus.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Bless, wait.
For the first roll, it was an 8, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that even with a bless, that won't be enough to...
Okay.
So, yeah, roll your damage for that second attack.
6.
All right. And once again, you create another point from which this slug is bleeding.
Yay!
It sounds so gross.
Oh my goodness.
And on it... Manages to hit this time.
Yay! Ooh. I was gonna say, it's gonna turn into like a sprinkler situation.
Maybe it's gonna be like a cherry tomato when there's nothing to burst from everywhere.
Yeah.
What if we wrapped a bunch of giant rubber bands around it? Would it explode like a watermelon?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, so Onyx leaps back onto this slug and sinks her teeth into it and shakes it real viciously. And that is going to do 11 damage.
Damn, girl. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
This thing is looking like it's on death's door.
Oh, Tinsy. Yes.
Tinsy's going to attack with sword, shield, and extra.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Do it.
First one. It's 7 plus 5.
12, so no, that won't hit.
Even with the bless?
Oh, right, I blessed myself.
No.
Even with the bless, it wouldn't?
No.
Oh. Okay, well, this one is 16 plus 5.
That one will definitely hit.
And fingers crossed. This one was 4 plus 5.
Yeah, so what?
I want to do more.
Is this just a repeat of your last turn where only the second attack hit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, roll damage for longsword.
Seriously, Tinsy has so many options to like actually hit now. Still nothing. Again, 6.
A 6? Okay.
So 6 plus 4.
Okay.
So 10. What the heck?
You're still in the temporal loop.
Okay. This thing looks as though it is about to keel over, but with its last breath, it's going to try and attack. Tinsy.
Do it! Go ahead! This is buff! You're real gross. I'm gonna taunt it.
Okay.
No one's gonna clean up after you. You smell funky, but not fresh.
Alright, so first of all, the slug whips around and is gonna try and hit you with its tail.
Uh-oh. God.
And 18 to hit, so...
Ooh. 19. I'm good.
Yes. And then, having missed with its tail, which you nimbly backstepped, it's going to come back around and try and whip its tentacles around you.
Uh-oh.
And that one is also going to be an 18 to hit, so Tinsy's just a dodging machine, just like sort of doing handsprings backwards out of the way of this this giant slug monster.
No one loves you! I'm sorry! I get aggressive and fight!
And then finally, the elven man is going to try and finish it off. I actually was supposed to do his turn before the slug's turn, but I forgot, so oops.
That's okay, the slug was real angry.
It was pretty angry.
You were taunting it so good.
I was. I told him he didn't smell nice.
He's very self-conscious about it.
All right.
Yeah, he is.
All right, so the elven man plunges his two daggers deep down into the slug's head, and it writhes and then finally collapses to the ground, motionless.
And does it burst like a gusher?
No, it just oozes slowly.
Oh.
It didn't see, it's just, ew, 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 and she starts, like, dancing back away from it.
Zealous just jumps in the puddle.
No. Oh, no.
You're jumping in his, like,
100%. She's not gonna happen, okay? She's, you know, she's gonna take her fun where she could get it.
Calm down, Zealous.
All right, well, the elven man looks between the two of you and raises an eyebrow at Zealous splashing around in the slug guts.
Can you please tell me, like, is she, like, giggling? Is she, like...
No, she's looking just very angry. She's, like, stomping around with a really big frown on her face, and she's just, like, jumping. But inside, she's happier now. But on the outside, you can't really tell. If anything, she looks angrier.
By the way, is Zealous's face revealed right now? I would assume yes, like, probably while she was...
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would assume that, like, at the very least, while you were resting, Tinsy would have, like, pulled down your mask so that you could breathe more easily.
Probably, yeah, 100%.
Because I'm a good friend.
All right. Well, he gives a long look at Zealous, not just because of her splashing in the guts, but, like, the look is a little inscrutable, and then he says... something else. Again, you can't understand what he's saying, and gestures for you to follow, and begins to walk off into the marsh.
Okay. We should go follow.
See us?
Yeah.
Let's
go.
Yeah?
Yeah. Let's just go.
Okay. Do you want me to carry you again?
No, I'm perfectly fine. You can keep your distance.
Okay. Tinsy just sheepishly starts walking forward.
And on that sad note, we will take a break here.